Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Wednesday evening service. We're going to continue tonight in our series on conversations. We've had several topics over the last few weeks, and tonight we have the privilege of having some amazing guests with us, and our focus tonight is outreach. So first of all, I want to welcome you guys, Tannen from the city, and Aaron Fisher, and our own Edgar. So welcome, guys. And why don't you guys take a few minutes first and introduce yourself, your family maybe, tell us a little bit about you and about your ministry as well. Aaron, why don't you start?
I'm Aaron Fisher with Blessings of Hope and my beautiful wife, Barbie, and I have five children, four girls and one boy. And so Blessings of Hope, we are a food distribution ministry to supply other ministries with food. And Edgar's probably going to be sharing more about that.
Wonderful. And Tannen?
Yeah, my name is Tannen Herman. I live in Allison Hill, just a stone's throw away from the building here, with my family. I have three little girls. My wife's Christina. My girls are Milagros, Esther, and Aaliyah. She's 4 months old. And what we focus on doing is I run a nonprofit there in the city called Wild Heart. And ultimately what we give our heart's attention to is building bridges to transform communities and bringing people together to bring about the change that we all want to see happen in areas of poverty or low income. So a big push, what we're focusing on, is cleaning things up in that neighborhood so that the love and light of Jesus can really take root and begin to shift things in that neighborhood.
Wonderful. Edgar and I are going to share the microphone tonight. So Edgar, tell us about you.
I am Edgar Castañón. I'm from Guatemala. I have my wife and three kids. I work in Life Center. I do community outreach, local and the states, outer states, impacting communities.
Wonderful. You know, when we talk about outreach, it means so many different things to so many different people and so many different ministries. Sarah and I, my wife and I, we were missionaries for so many years. We're still missionaries at heart. Missionary basically means you spend a lot of money to go to another country, but do the same thing, grassroots ministry, meeting people where they're at. So tell me, Tannen, how did your desire to move here and start Wild Heart Ministries? I see you have a embroidered shirt, which you told me that
Shout out to my mom. That was my Christmas present.
It's so great.
Yeah, so
tell us the heart behind.
Yeah, so the super brief version is my family moved here. My wife and I moved here before we had kids 8 years ago to Harrisburg to work with Sean Foyt and Burn 24/7. When his ministry relocated to California, at that time, my wife and I had just fallen in love with Harrisburg, specifically our community in Allison Hill. And so we decided to stick it out and stay around, even though we had no real reason to do so. But in the middle of that, we were just praying for our community, asking God, you know, what is it that you want us to do? Why are we here? Why did you ask us to stay? As very much one of those Abraham moments, like, go, and then I'll tell you when you get there. So we stayed until God told us what it was we were to do. And in a time of prayer, we just felt like the Lord was telling us, Allison Hill is like a treasure in the field. Most people can't see it because it's covered in dirt. But if you're willing to clean things up, you'll find the treasure and show it with everybody. So that's kind of been really how we jump-started into what we're doing, was God asking us to love the hill the way that he does. And so that's why we're doing what we're doing.
So even before I met you, Sarah and I came back 3 years ago, I was hearing stories about the hill, Allison Hill. It was, you know, in our newsfeed, people's conversations. So you're not just doing ministry, you're impacting even conversations. You're impacting, it's in the language of people that are around you, you know. And for you to come with your family and children, what is there a cost associated with, you know, counting the cost of committing to such a ministry?
I'm sure that there are costs associated with it, and I wouldn't say that it means nothing to us, you know, the things that we sacrifice, but I do know that I'm probably more in tune with the worthiness of what we're doing than the cost of what we're doing. And I think that anybody who spends any measure of time inside of our community will have a very similar revelation to the worthiness of being in that community, making relationships with individuals, and understanding how a very small amount of effort and love makes a very large impact in a community like Allison Hill. And, I mean, all of us share that testimony within that neighborhood as well, because we've all worked in there as well.
Beautiful. Aaron, tell us more about Blessings of Hope, kind of how it first started, and who's behind it. You're one person, but what makes Blessings of Hope?
So, interestingly, I started food outreach in Harrisburg. Okay. So, in 2006, I started helping at an outreach that And I just fell in love with food outreach. And so I'm fired up, and hey, you got to meet this person, you got to meet this person. And then we started a ministry in Lancaster in a three-car garage. We were in there till 2010. 2010, we got our first warehouse, 3,000 square foot. We're like, this is bigger than what we're ever going to outgrow in a long time. Well, 1 year later, we moved because we were out of space. And six warehouses later, we last fall moved into the first warehouse that we own, 43,000 square feet. And we're like, finally, we have a warehouse that's big enough. I mean, we even considered renting out some space because we don't need quite that much space. Now, today, we have a 2,000 square foot tent sitting outside of our building for additional capacity because we grew 400% since March.
Wow. So from 3,000 square foot, thinking that was more than what you would ever need, to 43,000 square foot facility.
Well, 3,000 square feet, thinking it's more than we need in a long time.
Right.
But yeah.
And in 6 years, you've grown to using 43,000 square foot facility.
Yeah. And
it's amazing.
And it's like every time we increase our capacity, we think, yes, we're like, we have what we need. And then God just says, watch this, guys.
Amazing. So what is it about food outreach that first grabbed your heart, and what was the impact that you began to see?
Well, it actually started when I was a child. So when I was growing up, my dad was in a wheelchair, and we were really poor. So someone would bring us boxes of food. And I decided at that time to do something with my life to help people. I thought that meant own a business, make a lot of money, help people that way. But God had a different plan. And so when I started with food outreach, I didn't associate that together right away. But that's where the love of giving food came from.
Amazing. Interestingly, I haven't thought of this story in a long time. My internal desire for outreach even started with a little personal food outreach. We're traveling from to India for vacation. Got to the airport in Bombay. And I was sitting on a hotel bus that was going to take us to a hotel. And I was sitting by the window. I was like 7, 8 years old. And a mom and her little child, infant, came to my window begging for food. And, you know, it's reasonable for me what I thought would be a blessing. I took a pack of chips that I had in my bag and dropped it to her. No sooner did I did that, I had like 20, 30 women and children around my window. And I remember it shaking me on the inside. I'm thinking, mm-hmm. We're waiting for all my suitcases for our family to be loaded. There's tons of goodies in there, and they're begging for a packet of chips. I remember that changed my internal kind of grid for life, you know? So,
yeah,
thanks for reminding me of that story. Edgar, tell me about kind of your heart behind what you do in outreach here.
We start to give away food in Guatemala with poor people, and after when we moved here in Bethlehem, we start to feed homeless. So we start to pay for the food and cooking for them, all my family involved. But when moved here in Harrisburg, I found, thank you for David Snyder contacting me, Aaron, and we start to work with them. So we decide to do outreach in Allison Hill in the mansion. We start with 30,000 pounds of food and just my family, my wife and my kids, and all the community is coming here with us. And this is the beginning we start.
What year was that?
2006, no, 10, 14? Something like that. Something like that, 2014, yeah. Something like that. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, Edgar works at the church here, and in our staff meetings every week after week, he tells us, or seasonally, he tells us, you know, this week we gave away 30,000 pounds of food. This week, from January till now, what, 6 million? There's always a large number associated with it.
And then other weeks, it's like we also gave away 5,000 teddy bears, and this
right.
week we gave away 13,000 pairs of shoes. Edgar just gets blessed in the thousands of things.
Tell us some figures.
Just me, I facilitate from my database with my network pastors, 7 million pounds of food, impacting 466,000 people and serving 130,000 people just with the food. Plus, just in the East Coast, Washington, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Allison Hill, Bethlehem, Allentown, Catasauqua, Beaverton, different locations. So this is just the local outreach we have. Plus, we have another resources to give away food, plus the teddy bears, the shoes, the, all the donation they gave to me to give away for the communities. It's a great blessing for me because we can see signs and wonders. We pray for people, healings. We can see the people is crying. Even people was prostitutes or dealers, they are coming to the church. They transform the communities. It's coming. And this is real. And this is part of the God's hearts to do his will.
Food is a door opener. It opens the door to build relationships and pray for people and see miracles and help people's lives be real with God again.
Amazing. So when you say like 30, it's hard for me to translate. I don't know about you guys. For me personally, when you say like 30,000 pounds of food, the normal average person is just dealing with like a bowl of chili. The decision is, should I have one bowl or two bowls of chili? You know what I mean? So what does like... 30,000 pounds of food. What is that? What is that? A small truck? Is that a big truck? Tell us.
30,000 pounds is almost a tractor trailer load.
Almost a
tractor trailer load.
An 18 wheeler.
Yes.
18 truck dealer is 42,000 pounds of food.
Yeah.
42,000.
Yeah, 40 around 40.
So we start. We is blessing of and me. We start to facilitate semi-loads at different locations.
So 7 million pounds comes out to 175 tractor trailer loads.
175 tractor trailer loads of food between January and June.
Yes.
Come on, and that's going now. You're talking not just Harrisburg. You're talking about East Coast all along the.
Exactly.
Amazing.
So. Blessings of Hope this year did a total of 22 million pounds of food, and out of that, 7 million was facilitated through Edgar.
Amazing, amazing. Tannen, back to Harrisburg. Tell us what like day-to-day life is like for you guys. Now, that's, you know, the ministry that they're involved in is focused on, you know, primarily with food and the things that come out of there, but for you, I've come out one day you're planting flowers, flower beds. Another day there's a major outreach going on out, you know, in your doorfront. There's music playing in the backyard, and there's a lot more. So tell us a little bit more about what goes on week to week.
Yeah, I mean, I think exactly what they said is how they were saying food is a door opener. I think serving is another way to open up, you know, hearts of individuals. And so a lot of what we do, you know, because we're out on the streets almost every day doing some sort of activity, you just spend a lot of time with the community. You build a lot of trust and relationships, and from that, we kind of find out what's going to be the most beneficial. So a lot of our relationships with neighbors have translated into creating specific activities for what we should do. So if you see us out there planting flowers, it's not random. It's usually by request. Or if you see us you know, clearing out a vacant lot so that kids can play in it, it's usually because a mom has asked us to do those things. So it's very much, you know, working with the residents to dream for, like, what can we really see take place inside of this community? You know, you'd mentioned we do a lot of block parties and stuff because in an area where there's a lot of great need, it's very difficult to measure change because looks can be deceiving. I'll put it like that. Even though things might look better, like, say, we clean up a lot, that doesn't necessarily translate to a better quality of life. But so we started hosting these block parties because we learned that when you celebrate change, it's a lot easier to stay on top of it because you're inviting everybody into like an announcement where we begin to talk about, like, do you guys see what's going on? And it's like, oh, yeah. You know, and so it's been actually really neat. I feel like our block parties have been like a facilitator of needs being met within the community. So we've had Edgar come and show up at some of those block parties, and that's how they get welcomed to the party. Welcome to the party. Here's a massive box full of food. So it's kind of like, this is like the best party ever, you know? So we've found ways how to work with individuals and to really, like I said, build bridges to bring people together. I feel like in Allison Hill specifically, what I've been most honored to do in my time of being there is give people an access point to bring the love of Jesus into that community. And I wasn't really aware of the need for that when I first landed there, but there are so many individuals who dream about how they could really serve and love communities like The Hill. They just don't know who to connect with. And I remember when Edgar and I first connected after I had moved here, that was a conversation that we had at the beginning. It was like, who can you actually work with in this community? And we found out, hey, we should just work together. Like, that makes sense, right? You know, and so I feel like it's just been incredible to see a lot of the activities that we're doing. They're responses. They're not necessarily like, oh, God gave me a particular vision, but it's like there are needs that are inherent within humanity that God's put on each of our hearts to like step up to the plate and to do something about it. And I think that if I had to offer an opinion, why I see so much favor on all this stuff is because when you say yes to Jesus's friends, like, it's the whole, you know, God's will, God's bill, you know, I take care of my friends kind of a thing. I've seen the extravagant generosity of Jesus towards the poor in almost every activity that any of us have set out to do. And to me, it's just like, that's exhilarating. Like, that's what gets me up out of the bed every morning is, how is Jesus going to blow the socks off my community today? And I get to be front row seat, watch the whole thing take place.
It's amazing. I mean, we can talk all these amazing numbers and amazing projects and creative ideas, but it all comes down to when you see the tear rolling down someone's cheek, when it's that individual personal impact. That's, for me, is fuel for like 5 more projects. That's fuel for like 10 more ideas. So would you share any like personal testimonies from any of the outreaches that you've done?
I can share one. So one of the outreaches in Dubois, they were doing outreach door-to-door, and they knocked on this person's home, and nobody came to the door for quite a while. And finally, this older gentleman came to the door, and he was crying because he was in the process of committing suicide, and they saved his life. And he was really thankful, and then they were able to minister to him ongoing from there.
So you were going door to door, so it's random. You're just going, and then there was somebody who was about to commit suicide.
Wow. Right. That wasn't me personally. That was right. Somebody that's taken one of our boxes. But yeah,
amazing.
Yo nos give away food is touching lives and transform communities. Is relationships is a friendship, is a connections. It's not just give away food or planting something. It's touch the heart of the people. This is why in our next steps is to do a community centers in different cities to get a jobs, to apply for a citizenships, to how navigate in the system, the immigration, to get resources, lawyers, etc. It's complex, but I need your help. We need your help. We need your support.
Edgar is a visionary through and through and through. I want to talk about the community center a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many stories I could share. I just think two real quick off the top of my head. One of them, it's a less personal encounter, but it just kind of shows the power of, like, what it means to beautify an area. So we actually, one of the things that we've been committed to is boarding up abandoned houses and targeting areas that are being used as crack houses within the community to prevent crime. And so when we do those things, we paint all over these boards, you know, that we do rather than just putting up a blank board. And oftentimes when we're painting, we're praying. And it's kind of like, if you can imagine, like a giant prophetic mural that's shutting the door to a crack house. So, you know, that's pretty cool, right? Well, you know, other than it just being nice looking, we had a lady come to one of our block parties one time. And she's looking around. She's like, who's the guys that's been boarding up houses? Who's the guys? Like, show me the guys. And so somebody took her over to one of the guys on my team. His name's Ricky. And she's like just bawling in tears. And she's like, are you the guy that's been boarding up houses? He's like, yeah. And, you know, a little, like, worried, like, why, you know, it's at your house, you know, like, what's going on? And she just starts weeping, and she's just like, I've been addicted to crack for about 4 years now, and I've been doing it in secret because I've made a decision that I don't want to do it around my family. She's got little kids. I don't want to do it around my kids because I want them to feel like their life is normal. But she's like, and I always go to this one house. Every single time I want to use, I always go to the same house. And this time when I showed up to the house, you know, one of your boards had blocked the house. And she's like, and for the first time ever, I realized I didn't actually have to do crack. It was a choice. I was making a choice every single time to go into that house. And when you stopped my access, it made me reevaluate. And so she's like, I've decided I'm not going back to that way of life anymore. You know, and so how crazy is that? Because it wasn't like, you know, we were having a conversation with somebody. She just encountered a piece of art that was blocking access to a crack house. So that's like an incredible one. And then well, I'll just leave it at that. There's so many I could...
No, tell me another testimony.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of individuals. Like, for instance, there's a lady, her name's Tiny. You know, she spends a lot of her time on the porch. And, you know, her area on Swatara Street, historically, is a pretty rough area. A lot of shooting, a lot of drug dealing, lots of different things that are happening there. And actually, I'm going to pivot, go right around behind her house is this area that's been really, really bad with dealing. And so we've had teams down there a lot. And I think one of the things that's really touched me and made me realize how powerful it is when you stop, when you kind of like take the lenses off of what you think you know and you just connect to people. My wife walked up to one of the guys who's a pretty notorious drug dealer in the neighborhood. And she asked him, hey, could we clean up your backyard? And he was just like shocked, like, wait, me? Like, you want to come and clean my backyard? And she's like, yeah. And he's just like, that would be amazing. Like, my kids have nowhere to play, and, you know, I have to keep them inside the house all the time, and it's driving them crazy, and, like, that would be amazing. And he had all of his guys with him, that deal for him, and he, like, immediately turned him into a little cleanup squad to work with us. And he's like, all right, grab all this stuff, get it out of the backyard, you know, whatever these guys need, you just work with them. So, like, we immediately went from, like, working around, you know, people that many of us would try to avoid and conscripted them to be a part of this change, and they begin working with, you know, these teenage kids, a lot of them are from like the burbs and everything. And so we got an opportunity to teach these kids, like, you know, no heart is too hard or too far gone. Like, you can run in and just serve people and you begin to make those connections. And actually what we ended up seeing as a result of that whole thing is that dealer made a decision that he didn't want his guys, you know, doing their business around our teams anymore. And it so interrupted the way that they ran things that it actually shut down the whole trafficking ring right there in our community. So just another amazing story.
Wow, yeah. Amazing. You know, with the heart of outreach is connecting on whatever level to an individual, a family, a person on the porch, on the streets as you serve food. But in the last few months with COVID, that's been the impact of that has been distancing. So how has this affected, either way, what you do, your outreach, your ministry?
COVID has affected us tremendously, in a good way. We have connected with, just in last April we served 75 organizations. This April we served 350 organizations. That just kind of gives you the spectrum of that. It's just kind of crazy.
So before COVID, 75 organizations you were blessing, you were involved in. And since then, how many?
350.
So there's a greater need during this pandemic.
Oh, absolutely.
Tell us more, Edgar.
Yes. Every time we, in this pandemic, the people need hope and need food. So we decide voluntarily to come out because we have just one life. We need to invest our life and provide the resources for the people. So we decide to come out against all the things. Of course, we use protections, social distance. But when you have, when you are hungry, you need to come out and find food. So we decide, and the numbers is increasing exponentially. So many communities, they have fear. They don't have hope. They have fear. They don't know what to do. We proclaim the gospel and we preach the gospel. We lay hands. We bring hope. Not just give away food. We bring hope to them.
Right. So every truck, every outreach brings hope, and every outreach that I've been to, I've seen people cry. You know, all outreach happens. What we want to see, what all of us want to see when we're doing outreach, we want to see change. We want to see people inspired with hope that we're hopeless. We want to see those things happen.
Yeah. I was just going to piggyback on that. I think what I've witnessed in our community, why the need for food has gone way up, is because of the coronavirus, a lot of people lost jobs. And that exponentially affects low-income communities more than the burbs. So for a lot of people, it's like, oh, I just go home and work from home. A lot of people, you know, they're at home now because they can't go to work and they lost their job. Also, on top of that, students who normally would rely on school meals to meet those needs, that's gone as well. So you're literally having now, to me, it's a no-brainer why the food ministries are taking off right now. It's because the need just increased, you know, sevenfold. You know, you have whole families back in their homes now that can't go out. And I just want to touch on what Edgar said, the fear. The fear is very, very real, especially in the Hill. I mean, there are individuals who will not come out of their houses. And so that's actually one of the things that we've done is we've been trying to partner with some of the food distributions to actually deliver meals to people's doors because they're not going to come out and stand in a line. Like, they're terrified. So, you know, for them, it's kind of like they'd much rather be hungry and safe than, you know, risk it and going out. And we've seen kind of both of those dynamics at play. But it's been, I mean, I can't celebrate enough, I think, what the work of these two guys are doing with food.
Yes, one truck, for example, in Allison Hill, when we went with the truck, we can find lines of people, two or three blocks, waiting for the food, touching maybe 300 people, families, people. And plus, when we bring the semi-loads, the 18-wheelers, we maybe in the line is 1,000 people waiting just for the food. And this is some pastors, do you have the video, that they are very grateful with the food distribution? Do you have the video?
Yeah, why don't we run the Blessings of Hope video? You'll get a glimpse into what it takes to package food in the, is this the 43,000 square foot facility?
That's in that facility, yes.
Okay, let's, Rick, if you would run that video, we'll take a good glimpse. That's amazing. I did not think there were conveyor belts and organized. I thought it was just a few people. So how many people volunteer to make this happen?
So we have 75 volunteers per shift. And we have two shifts on Tuesday. We have 15 shifts a week. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. No, about 12 shifts a week.
Okay.
And so since end of March, we packed 180,000 boxes like that.
Amazing.
So that's 180,000 families. Mm-hmm. And so one thing to remember, when we say these numbers, every box goes to an individual family.
Beautiful.
It's touching people's lives.
Yeah. So each of those boxes has basic supplies, milk per box, that would be a blessing to one family.
So milk, some of them have eggs, vegetables, maybe a bag of chips on the top just to, you know, make it look good. And
I'll just say quality food, too. I've witnessed that as well. And I'm very proud of what these guys have been providing because it's good food, which I will say is not the notorious connotation for food bank ministries.
Right. Yeah, so good. Tanner, what for you guys is Wild Heart being in the city, reaching out to your neighborhood, has this had an impact with the city council officials in the city? How has that affected your relationship?
Yeah, again, Wild Heart, I've been pretty proud. Our reputation in the city is, what can we do to help? You know, and people have learned that about us. And so one of the things that we've focused on during the pandemic was, I was talking a little bit about the students who needed meals. So we were working to provide volunteers to work with the Harrisburg Police Department to pack, as I think it was helping serve like 6,000 students a week or something like that. And so it was really cool to see how that whole thing came together. And then I'd mentioned as well, the other thing that we were doing is we basically created a delivery service for another food bank that was on Hummel Street to help get food into families' homes who were, like, they were never going to leave their house. They were going to starve, so.
And I heard recently, I don't know the full story, maybe you can share with us, there was a request to clear solar panels in the city?
Yeah. So a company donated a 5-acre solar field to the city of Harrisburg when they relocated outside of the city. And so the very short version of that story is they gave the developers that bought that land that had the solar field gave the city an extremely tight deadline as to when they had to have all those panels removed before they began demolition to make way for their new development, which is a new state building. During that time, we have pretty good relationship with the Department of Public Works, who were tasked to take down the solar field. And so they had put out bids, and it was going to cost them like $300,000-something to take down the solar field. And, you know, it was just a lot of craziness. And they kind of hit a point where they're like, we don't know what to do. We can't afford the help that we need, and we can't do it in the timeline. We can't do it on our own. They had kind of budgeted out on their own. It was going to take them too long. They were going to miss the deadline. So I just got a phone call saying, like, hey, this is really crazy and last minute, but could you help us? And so 10 days after that phone call, we had about 60 guys and girls show up on a Saturday, and within 4 hours dismantled an entire solar field for the city of Harrisburg. And, I mean, that was really cool. It's like, you know, sometimes, like, how do you call that ministry? What was powerful was all those dudes knew that were working with Public Works that they all call me a pastor, which is really fun, too. So they're like, you know, this pastor just asked people to help us take down the solar field so that, you know, we could save money, save time, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, can you believe that? You know, and so then now they all, like, are coming to me like, so who are you, man? Like, for real, like, what's this? So it's been really neat. And a lot of what we do, it's kind of changed people's ideas of what believers are allowed to be a part of, you know, and can influence on a citywide level. So that was really neat to be able to help them. And then the result of that, too, is that the city was so blessed by it, they decided just to cut us a $10,000 check as a thank you. So really, really cool.
And, you know, outreach is not always, even if you don't classify it as the traditional ministry, the heart of it is serving. If it's serving the city, serving the neighborhood, serving one family, serving, you know, a request like that, it changes culture. Yeah. You know, it changes the mindset. I remember we were in Ethiopia a few years ago, and we would go. One of our favorite forms of outreach was a food outreach. It's a daily feeding center, and one of our translators, young guy who's working at an IT company, and he would come and translate for us. He's never been there. It's like maybe 5 kilometers from where he works and lives. And we took him, because we've been going there for the last 15 years, and he was so shocked and moved by that experience that here foreigners are coming to bless his community that he started going back to his work and telling, they're not believers now, and telling him, look, there's an amazing opportunity, come with me. So he started taking teams from his office, from his work, to start serving at the feeding center. So the impact is just changes your culture, changes your mentality.
And I think that's what it does. Like when you set your heart out to serve, like it literally takes you anywhere. Like there's no, you know, off limits area when you serve. And I personally think that we're all hardwired to want to serve. I mean, I've never gone to a group of people where people are like, oh, I got to go help somebody. Like it's usually like, okay, well, like what do you want me to do? You know, it's like there's a natural curiosity about how we can bless other people.
It's amazing. And Edgar is really an anomaly. Your gifting is phenomenal because every week, I think Tannen, you alluded to this a little bit. Every week there's a new opportunity. One day it's 30,000 teddy bears that he's giving away to the Eastern Seaboard. Another day it's food that he's partnering with you in. Another time it's shoes that you're giving away. Just last week he said he has a donkey to give. This is the truth. He has a donkey to give away. I don't even know what to do with that. But also, Edgar, you do, it's not just local. You are also serving internationally in Guatemala, Mexico, and several other Latin American countries. Tell us about what happens with your ministry in Guatemala.
Yes, in Guatemala, with this pandemic, the people over there, they live in fear. And they have nothing to eat. So a different culture, different set of mind. So we start to send money and feed people from our pocket and some donations, a few donations. We don't ask for donation because God is our sources. But God give me the anointing to the people approach to me and give thousands of things. I have this anointing to receive and give away. This is amazing. But yes, we impact maybe 6 countries, Colombia, Mexico, El Salvador, Puerto Rico, República Dominicana, Guatemala, and give away food, beans, bread, everything. It's amazing how we can transform community. If a Latino guy here from Guatemala coming here can do this, what about you? You have the anointing. You have the Holy Spirit. You need to position yourself to the blessing of God. God will send the resources to you. And you are going to touch many people because you have the power of the Holy Spirit.
Edgar's also a preacher. Guys, thank you for sharing with us tonight. And before we leave, we want to, if you would just share, what is one way, practical way, that people that are watching and hearing these stories and opportunities, those who are saying, Tana, those who are saying yes to serve in whatever way, how can they serve each of your ministries? What's a good way to volunteer? Go ahead, Aaron.
I think the best way for people in the Harrisburg area to volunteer is help at the outreaches, help with the projects on the hill, and impact the community. And it doesn't even just have to be with someone else. What about your neighbor? Connect with your neighbor and have a conversation and maybe help them do something. You know, it's the heart of serving. That's what it is.
Right. Tannen, for you guys, can it only be, I know like youth groups come out, different churches have come to serve you. Can it be like families come out to do smaller projects?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We definitely have something for everybody. I mean, there's 4 pretty simple ways that we give people to onboard to work with us. Number one is pray. Like, I think that most inner city ministries burn out because they stop valuing prayer and the presence of God. That's like central to what we do. So we covet people to pray for us. Serving alongside us, there's so many activities. Right now we're in the middle of our 4th year of summer projects. So every day we're on the streets now doing some sort of service activity in the community. Sharing about what we're doing helps us a lot, actually. You know, a lot of how we've grown and had greater influence is because people take time to share the story of what we're doing. And then also giving. I mean, you know, Edgar's brought up a couple times on his thing, but also financially sowing and blessing into the things that we're doing. And all of those expressions, we kind of tied a little bow on it and called it becoming a Love the Hill advocate. And you can find that at lovethehillpa.com.
Wonderful. And for Edgar's outreach here in Harrisburg, it's every 2nd and 4th Saturday. 9 a.m. Is there a specific time? But you can contact Edgar. So if you're watching this at home with your family, with your children, teenagers can help, especially during the summer, even during the school time, whatever way that you're inspired. These are 3 amazing ministries that we have the privilege of partnering with on different levels and being in friendship and relationship with. We're proud of you guys.
I was going to say 3 COVID-19 friendly ministries. Yeah.
There you go. So thank you guys for coming and sharing. We hope that there's response from our community as well to come out and serve in what God has given your heart to do. So Father, we thank you for this opportunity to hear these stories, hear the testimony, the numerous stories that are behind each of these ministries. God, we ask that you would increase their capacity, increase the resources, increase their vision from as it was for Aaron. God, keep increasing the favor on their lives in the city with people in every way. Like, enlarge their capacity, enlarge their territory, and let your kingdom in the most beautiful way be revealed through their lives. We bless each one of you, and we bless you watching from home. Be encouraged, and I hope you participate and connect with these guys or others that you know. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to our conversations this evening.
Hi, Pastor Charles, Pastor Edgar. I want to say thank you. This is Pastor Jim Kilmartin from Center City Church in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Hello, Pastor Charles and Pastor Edgar. We are Wilmer and my wife, Patricia Luna.
Hi.
Northbridge Ministry of Morristown, New Jersey.
My name is Pastor Bill Ritzenthaler.
with Helping Hands Food Ministry of St. Peter's United Methodist Church of Emerald, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Pastor Charles. Hi, Pastor Edgar. This is Pastor Alejandro Escamela from Ministerio Fuente de Vida, Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Pastor Charles, and thank you, Pastor Edgar. This is Carlos Galindo from Proyecto Pan de Vida here in Guatemala City.
Bendiciones, Pastor Charles, Pastor Edgar. Muchas bendiciones. Somos Pastores Marta y Carmen del Ministerio Cristo para las Naciones en Plainfield, New Jersey.
Morning, Pastor Charles and Pastor Edgar. We are Pastor Rosalio and my beloved wife,
Angela Pagoda.
We are from Emmanuel Prayer Center in Bangor, New Jersey.
Hi, Pastor Charles. Hi, Pastor Edgar. This is Pastor Juan Fuentes from La Luz del Mundo Church in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Hello, God bless you, Pastor Charles and Pastor Edgar. My name is Luis Ayala. I'm a pastor in the Church of God of Prophecy in 80 West Mary Road in Freeport, New York.
Quiero darle las gracias a los pastores Charles y Edgar. Nosotros somos los pastores Alvarado de la Iglesia Casa de Reconciliación, ubicada en la ciudad de York, Pennsylvania.
Hola, Pastor Charles. Pastor Egan, soy el pastor Ramón Lorenzo del Centro Cristiano Familia de Fe en Jamaica, Nueva York.
Morning, Pastor Charles, Pastor Edgar. I thank you for your giving Allentown Church of God.
God bless you, Pastor Charles and Pastor Edgar, and Wanda Felix, Pastor Wanda Felix, and Pastor Ruben Felix from Sunny's Family Worship Center.